This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Halfway through Saturday afternoon's broadcast of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. On my far left, Richard Pollock. In the middle, Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air like the expert that he is. And Michael Remus behind the scenes doing some of his quality work. Now, before we get into our next topic, goalie injuries in the NHL. I understand that, you know, you're a big music fan, Richard Pollock. You're a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
I am.
You got a guitar for your birthday.
I did.
I'm unfamiliar with you, being much of a guitar player. Is this just something you're going to start taking up in your minimal spare time? Is this just, another way to, to woo the women that you have in your life? You know, a little bit of crooning, a little bit of, your body is my wonderland or whatever the hell that song is called.
It's a great song.
Is that the plan that you got in store?
You know, Drew, unbelievable. I just want to learn how to play guitar. It's an interest of mine, and I have people who said they're willing to teach me, so I think, why not start now?
You should just start bringing the guitar to the MTS Center with no intention of playing it. Just have the guitar.
Eric the Great. I can play Johnny Cash.
So I look forward to the first ever Richard Pollock concert here on IC.
It's a nice guitar. It's black. It's a beautiful guitar.
Oh, I assumed it was going to be a high-quality guitar. I mean, I didn't have any qualms about the quality of the guitar. Let me ask, how many months do we have to give you before you'll play a song on air for us?
I have no clue for timelines. First off, you're trying to get me to commit to play a song on air. I just want to be able to play a song. I don't know. Let's say like a year.
A year? Okay. Yeah. Today's October 26th. I'll be surprised if we're still on air a year from now, so that's always a bit of the problem. We might just have to stand outside of the studio and play a
song. Play in the back lane.
Yeah,
if we're talking musical instruments, I
you can play the spoons pretty well, can't you?
Well, I was going to say, Drew, you should mention your glockenspiel.
What is it with you today and weird words?
I don't know. Well, you were using circuitous or whatever. So
you used Broughton early in the show.
Yeah, Broughton. Yeah. But that was in reference to former brothers Neil and Aaron Broughton.
I
take Neil Broughton on the Jets. He was a very underrated player in his day.
I thought Aaron Broughton was on the Jets.
No, I'm saying if Neil Broughton was in his prime, I would take him on the Jets.
Yeah, Aaron Broughton. Wasn't Aaron Broughton on the 1980 Olympic team?
Yes.
Miracle on Ice team?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure, but... Neil Broughton, most of his career with the North Stars, right?
North Stars, then he went to the Devils for the 95 Cup, didn't he?
He might have been on that team.
We'll do a little search,
You're
don't you
Devils
worry.
You're the Devils expert here, Ezzy, if you don't know.
I know, Ezzy, it was no Bobby Carpenter, but...
Yeah, exactly. No Peluso. There was another Peluso on that team.
Remus is going to be jealous that we're talking about random players.
Yeah, I know. Usually save that for Wednesday show, but oh well, he'll live. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it again on Wednesday show. I'm confident about that part.
Aaron Braun played, 91-92 with the Jets.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. He was in the Devils, too.
Cam Ward, out 3 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury, suffered in the game, I think it was on Thursday night, the game.
That's not good.
No, that's
remember,
not
remember
good.
What happened last year.
Neil Broughton, 19 points in 20 games, Devils Cup run, 95.
Yeah, see? Good memory.
So, trade deadline acquisition?
Yes. Actually, no. Yes, it was. That's right.
Yeah. Well, it was only 20 games.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Richie has his zoomies on, so that's why he remembered that one. even though I don't understand why that would make your memory better. But, talking about Cam Ward, I remember...
And Neil Broughton was on the Olympic team, not Aaron, sorry.
The Jets were really successful. Are you done with Broughton here, Richie?
Sorry. Well, you use the word Broughton in the first segment. I can't get over it.
You always bring it, so. But remember last year, the Jets have been very successful against the Hurricanes. Remember that first year, Chris Mason had, I think, 3 wins against the Hurricanes. But last year, the Hurricanes season went right down the tubes once Cam Ward was injured. And this year, you're asking Justin Peters to come in, but luckily... Jim Rutherford signed Anton Khudobin from the Boston Bruins. And now that signing, that's why it's important to always have that goaltending depth in your system.
You're right about that.
So now Anton Khudobin. I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if Anton Khudobin takes over that number one role during Cam Ward's time out with an injury because Justin Peters has struggled. He's been okay at the AHL level, but he struggled to take over the number one position at any level in the NHL level with the Hurricanes. So that's not good because the Hurricanes right now, their defense is a mess.
That's what I was going to say. As you know, we talk about goaltending stats and all that stuff. Play goaltender in Carolina.
Yeah.
Fun with that.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not easy. They don't have a good defense. They don't play a great defensive system. It's tough,
So yeah, Carolina has struggled big time, even though right now they're sticking in there.
The division's
eighth place there. But, yeah, you know, you've got Mike Komisarek there, who obviously didn't work out in Toronto. You've got Ron Hainsey, who's picked up due to the injury to Pitkinen. So, I mean, the defense there is struggling. So I saw that, and that's not good because Cam Ward, aside from Eric Staal, is their most valuable player. So that one's going to be tough for them. If they can hang in there, if Khudobin and a combination of Khudobin and Peters can, you know, give
Khudobin's
them...
still out. He's injured for the next week as well. So
oh, I didn't know that.
It's Justin Peters for the next week.
Yeah, Peters is playing.
Yeah, it's, Peters played yesterday.
I was letting Enzi go on that because Khudobin's going to play before Ward's back. So, yep. I mean, it's a factor. As you mentioned, Komisarek, he can hardly get in the lineup either, which says more about Komisarek, Enzi, than it does about, I think, the Canes' defense, because the Canes' defense is so bad that Komisarek obviously can't get in. You know, he can't really skate well, and he doesn't really move the puck. So what can he do, right? So, you know, he's only logged three games. Ryan Murphy and Justin Falk are going to be their puck mover guy. Yeah, you know,
they're their two best defensemen right now.
Yeah, I mean, but Ron Hainsey, these guys are logging big minutes. Ron Hainsey seems to just go around and log big minutes on these average teams. And no offense to the Jets over the past 2 years, but that's really what he does, right? And for him, it's a good gig. He gets to play. He gets
a couple of $1 million in the old bank account.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you look right now at the Carolina Hurricanes roster, Andre Sekera has been a nice surprise for them, but Hainsey's playing 20 minutes, you know? That's their defense is, you know, leaves a lot to be desired. And obviously the Tim Gleason loss has been very significant.
Sure. What does this do to Cam Ward and Team Canada? I mean, to me, he was always...
It's not good.
To me, he wasn't on my Team Canada, given the way he's played the last couple of years.
He wasn't invited to the camp.
I know. Well, he wasn't going to be on my Team Canada either. And now I think this is officially the death knell for his chances to make the team.
I don't know if it necessarily means that he isn't on the team. No, I know, but
end of November.
I'll agree with you. I'll say this much. I think it hurts his chances big time, but you got to look at Luongo, Smith, and some of the other guys. Holtby obviously played really well against the Jets. Yeah. I think it's Luongo and Price 1-2.
I've been
and
Price then, for 4 years, so I'm sticking with Price.
Yeah, well, Luongo and Price, I think, are the locks. And then it's really Crawford, Holtby, Fleury. I mean,
let me ask you this. One thing in the Washington game that I was very impressed with, I mean, obviously Holtby kept them in that game.
Yeah.
The way he can handle the puck.
Yeah, but Price can move the puck, too.
I know, but I mean, does that give him
Smith
any...
Smith can move the puck better than both of them.
Okay, so that's...
Got to stop the puck.
That's not
it's going to be a factor in the big ice, Drew. Don't get me wrong, 100%. But, I mean, first and foremost, stop the puck.
Yeah.
And the Canadian defense is going to be extremely mobile.
I think if I remember correctly, I took Luongo, Price, and Smith.
You did, yeah.
So did we do predictions?
You
already?
Were on that show. Yeah. It was Dave, and you guys both had Luongo. Yeah, I had Price.
Wow.
I've had Price for years.
Mean as the number one goalie. I still have Price on the team. Yes, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Price takes over the number one spot.
I just think... Luongo, I mean, he just makes you so nervous. And I think he makes his teammates a bit nervous. I like him as a player. I like him as a goaltender. He's still very good. But Mike Smith drop him in a huge situation like that. I don't see Stevie Yzerman and Mike Babcock and Hitchcock and the whole brain trust doing that. And then yet to Fleury. Are you going to trust Fleury in the big game?
He's never really been able to. I mean,
he's won the cup. I mean,
the cup year was good so far early this year.
But the past couple, he's been terrible in the playoffs. And,
sure. World Juniors.
He screwed up on the shot against the player in the known zone there. But
I thought we have a moratorium on that.
Yeah.
Something happens 9
no,
years,
no, no.
10 years
we
ago.
Only have, we only have a moratorium, I think, on the Coyotes, sale. Sold.
But this is my thing. So
we should have a moratorium on all moratoriums.
Cam Ward is in a very difficult situation. He's been a very consistent goalie for the course of his career. He's obviously faced injury recently. And the team he's on and the defense he's behind is terrible. So how do you? That's another thing. Did Cam Ward just get really bad over the past couple of years?
No.
Are you playing behind a really terrible defense?
The defense hasn't been good. No, Cam Ward is a tremendous goalie. I'd make the argument he's a top five goalie in the NHL.
I don't know that, but
top 10.
In a different team, he very well could be.
That's the problem with goaltending right now. It's so dependent on. On the team that's in front of you. I mean, who was the last goaltender that's really, stolen a team into the playoffs?
Probably Smith in Phoenix 2 years ago, right?
I was going to say Craig Anderson in Colorado a couple years back before he went to Ottawa.
Bobrovsky almost did it last year in Columbus.
Yeah.
But
it's rare. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point in time, it's like you were saying, it's so hard to evaluate goaltenders nowadays.
Goaltenders.
Yeah. Speaking of goaltenders, another one that's injured, Pekka Rinne. I mean, we spoke about it throughout the course of the show. 4 weeks.
That's a big one.
With a hip infection that requires surgery. I mean, that's a scary incident and a scary injury and a serious injury.
It's scary. You know, you got to take your time with that one. And then if you're looking at it from the perspective of, obviously, you wish he gets better quickly. But you look at the perspective of Nashville. And obviously, the Jets fans have seen Carter Hutton play really well in two games. But Carter Hutton doesn't play against the Jets every game, has he? And the second thing is we haven't seen him where he's playing consistently. Does he get tired? Does he wear down? It's only a month, but still, it's a lot of action, and it's a tough Western Conference. So if you're Barry Trotz, you have to be a little bit nervous.
Sure. I mean, you're a little less nervous because you've got Shea Weber and Seth Jones in front of him, but you're still a little nervous.
Right. And, I mean, you talk about Olympic effect of this. You know, it's a month, and Rinne will likely be Finland's starting netminder.
Sure.
But,
you know, when you're talking in... You know, it's one thing if
it lingers and Lettinen ends up being healthy, who knows?
Well, it's one thing if you break a bone. When you break a bone, the bone heals. Yeah. When you're talking an infection, you know, that's something that, you know, look at Rob Gronkowski. How many infections did he get in his back or in his arm because of the surgery? I mean, there's been a lot that you just never know with an infection. You never know how antibacterial or antibiotic resistant it becomes. Things of that nature.
You're not a doctor, but you'll take a look, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Stole my line.
I'm just saying, that's not as cut and dry as a pulled hamstring.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You have to hope that he comes back quickly. That's all you can hope for at this point. He'll be out for 3 more weeks, so hopefully it's not longer than that.
Yeah, because the Nashville Predators without Pekka Rinne are a completely different team.
They are.
Despite what the Jets might make him look good.
Yeah, Coach Carter Hutton's been good, but, you know. Remember the movie Coach Carter?
Coach Carter. I'm trying to think where you're going with that one,
I think I saw the movie, actually.
Basketball coach?
Yeah, it was average.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, I don't remember much.
I actually preferred snakes on a plane.
I don't like snakes. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Is Barry White? What is this, Timmy?
I think this is The Spinners, so this is a remix, by Wee K. Moore.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
That's
here
on Barry White.
This is what, Drew, this is what Drew puts on Saturday nights.
When he's getting ready. When he's doing up his bodysuit.
Bodysuit, man. Hey,
bodysuit guy.
You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and the website is IllegalCurve.com. It's only fitting that, given that comedy, this segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Go see Lachlan Patterson tonight at Rumors, his last night in town. I'm reliably informed there are very few tickets available, so get on that right away. RumorsComedyClub.com is the website. You can also give him a call at 204-488-4520, and if you're looking for a place for your Christmas party, that's the place. RumorsComedyClub.com. Gentlemen, John Scott struck again this week in the NHL. He's suspended indefinitely pending an in-person hearing for his hit on Louis Erickson. How many games is good for John Scott? I presume you're not even going to make the argument that it was a clean hit.
No. I want to talk about it for a little bit here.
You have about 10 minutes.
Because we have radio show.
The only reason...
You can think about it, too, if you want it for 10 minutes.
We're just a funny group of people here. I mean, we should have our own radio show. That wasn't funny. So the only reason we've heard of John Scott this year is because of him getting hack attacked by Phil Kessel, really. I mean, John Scott is one of the worst hockey players in the NHL right now.
He is, 100%.
And I think I can skate faster than
him. He's so bad, yeah.
So, John Scott, you know, he's involved in that incident, which happens to cost David Clarkson 10 games. All David Clarkson was doing was standing up for Phil Kessel, but because of the rule, David Clarkson just played his first game of the year so far. So, John Scott, what does he do? He cuts across the ice. He's 7'5", and he takes off Louis Erickson's head. Now, John Scott, the next day, was obviously swarmed by media, mainly Buffalo media, and he's saying, you know what, I really didn't mean to do it, and I'm a physical player, but, you know, that wasn't my intention. You know, for him to come out and say that after everybody knows that he's a dirty player.
Is he really a dirty player?
Yes, he is. And he hasn't been suspended before. But I think this proves he's a dirty player.
Yeah.
Well, but he's not a dirty player in the Patrick Coletta sense of the word, is he?
Well, Patrick Coletta is one of the dirtiest players. Yeah, but John Scott, okay, is picking on Phil Kessel. I mean, he's trying to get Phil Kessel going. And John Scott is a guy that really shouldn't be in the NHL, just based on skill level. And he'll probably end up getting 5 games because he doesn't have a previous history of suspensions. But really, as we've talked about before, if you really want to get the stuff out of the game, you could argue he should get 10 or 15 games.
Yeah. I echo what Ezzy said. I mean, let's be honest here. He's not a repeat offender. So he's going to get probably 5 games. But yes, he probably should get 10. The hit's ridiculous. And it's always these guys who... The offenders, you know, aside from Mike Richards on David Booth, which was a terrible hit, most of them are just these guys who are 13th, 14th forwards trying to stay relevant.
You'd think that after Matt Cook, and by the way, Matt Cook has got a lot more. He's scored 20 goals in the NHL before. Coletta, I think his best season is around 10 or 15. Maybe we'll get Remus or someone to check that.
I got it right here.
Coletta actually, a few years back, had a decent season.
He's a
I think
bomb,
it was 2010,
man.
2011. But he's turned into a guy that has run around cheap-shotting people, and that's how he thinks he can contribute on the ice. But the problem is, guys...
10 goals in 09-10.
So, I mean, he scored 10 goals, but Matt Cook is a little bit different player. He's a guy that's got a 20-goal season under his belt. But he's a guy that isn't going to have a future anymore if that's how he thinks that he's going to contribute to his team. Now, we've talked about
it a lot. Why is John Scott on an NHL roster? Have you seen him? He can't skate, as you mentioned. He can't score. He's got one goal in like 170 games. He doesn't do anything. He's a fighter. Like, so if you have a problem, this is a fundamental problem. What does Darcy Regier think of Hawk? What of that role? I mean, this guy wouldn't play on the Detroit Red Wings because he can't skate. Chicago got rid of him. I mean, he can't move out there. So what's his role? I mean, at least Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren, they go in there, they forecheck, they try and create chances. Even yesterday, playing pretty solid, you know, getting beneath the circle, fighting when they have to, answering certain chances. But, like, John Scott can't do anything. And they roll him out there, and he goes, he hits Louis Erickson late. He's a tall guy, he gets his elbow right into his head. Louis Erickson, a great player, 60 to 70 point player annually. And what's going to happen? This guy might not be the same. Who knows? And he's going to be out for 5 games. Louis Erickson may never be the same. It's garbage. I mean, it's just like, it's enough already. And then the NHLPA is appealing the suspension for Patrick Coletta. Most of the PA, but we talked about it before. Why the hell would they do that? And then we heard a lot of rumblings that the PA members weren't happy about it.
Well,
it's going to take internal strife with the PA maybe to get this going. But John Scott shouldn't be employed in the league because he can't play hockey.
How much blame do you lay at the feet of Ron Rolston? The catchword is the latest to call him a college coach.
None. Well, no, I think that's ridiculous.
I mean, did he know Scott was going to do that? I mean,
no.
But is
How does he know he's going to do that unless he told him to do it, which he obviously didn't, or we have no indication that he did do it? No, John Scott has to be responsible for John Scott. And that's what I said. Sure, I don't really think that before the game he said, okay, how am I going to have an impact on this game if I don't fight? Well, if I fight, then at least I've done my job. Well, I think I'm going to go out there and I'm going to elbow Louis Erickson in the head mid-ice. I don't think he said that. I believe him when he said that. But what I'm saying is when he says, oh, I don't think I'm a dirty... Well, I mean...
You might not be a dirty player, but you're a useless player.
You can, you know, pull out a gun and shoot someone and then say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And it doesn't really matter at that point. You did pull out a gun and shoot someone. So, I mean, he injured someone seriously, and you got to take responsibility for your actions. So, sure, I appreciate your apology, but that doesn't mean that you're a dirty player and you shouldn't be suspended for a significant amount of time.
He should be suspended, and it shouldn't really matter if he hasn't done it before because he shouldn't do it again. Ryan Garbutt's hit, too. It's ridiculous.
Garbutt got 5 games for his hit on Dustin Penner.
Yeah, they're both terrible hits.
You can play a physical game in the NHL and not... be a cheap shot artist.
You want to know why it's always the players getting hurt are always generally better than the players who are getting suspended? You want to know why?
Sure.
Because the players who are getting suspended can't have the puck on their stick for more than 3 seconds. Nobody hits them. The players who are getting hurt are the guys who always have the puck on their stick, and these guys are running around like chickens with their head cut off. That's the problem. Why is he on a roster? Wait, have you seen him play?
Yeah.
He just can't do anything out there. Remember, Chicago had him at forward and defense. They didn't know where to put him.
Yeah.
Then they got rid of him. They put him on the scrap heap. So
Buffalo's got him to do what? to make up for the fact that they don't have any defensemen.
No,
Ryan Miller wants wants out of town, and their forward isn't deep and soft.
The reason why they have him is because nobody stood up for Ryan Miller against Lucic however many years ago.
Yeah, but this is the problem with the Buffalo Sabres.
How long we got?
I think that, no, but the Ron Rolston, you know, sending him out, that's garbage. The problem with the Buffalo Sabres is they've already got Steve Ott. They've already got Cody McCormick. They don't need John Scott and Patrick Letta.
That's right.
Steve Ott can drop the gloves. He's half captain. And, well, if you don't know that Vanek is they share the captaincy. They don't need four or five fighters on the team.
Well, they don't have any skill player. I mean,
I understand the concern. You got to have a guy that can stick up for your teammates. Enough. You can make the argument too. Andrew Ladd's dropped the glove on the Jets. I'm saying. Andrew Ladd's dropped the gloves before. Evander Kane's dropped the gloves before. Eric Tangrady. I mean, you could make the argument you don't need Peluso and Thorburn on the team. Now, I happen to like Peluso and Thorburn, but I think this is what's going to happen when you're going to say, okay, I want to have a guy who can drop the gloves on my team, but he's also got to be able to play hockey. He's got to be able to contribute offensively or defensively. You can't just have these one-dimensional, staged goon fighters. And, you know,
100%.
John Scott says he's not a goon. Well, sorry, you are a goon.
You know, we talk all about it. We talk about it all the time, right, about these guys and what they're capable of doing and not doing. As he talks about the one-dimensional fighter. You know, for all the talk about, I always look at Sean Thornton, a guy who can play fourth line right wing, can play a hard game.
Can score the average goal, too.
Exactly.
The odd goal, sorry.
Exactly, and he can do that. And that's the kind of guy that I think still has a place in the game. We always hear about Bob Probert.
Sorry, along those lines, it's interesting to note that speaking earlier this week, Anthony Peluso cited Sean Thornton as a guy who he models his game after.
Right, and by the way, we should mention this, Richie. Remember what you were going to say there for a second, but Anthony Peluso and Chris Thorburn are not cheap players at all. We should mention that. The point is that they are on the team for a specific role, but they've also got to play a different. They've also got to contribute to the game in different ways.
Bob Probert, you know, the late Bob Probert, unfortunately, he played, and everybody remembers Bob Probert as being the biggest, toughest guy. Well, can I read you some Bob Probert goal totals?
Sure.
13, 29, 16, 20, 14, 19.
Yeah. He was essentially a three-time 20-goal scorer.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, and this goes back, this is why I do think hockey is evolving. And I think what happened with George Perros, I know we had the heated discussion on our first NHL midweek show. Drew, Richie wasn't there, and I think it's important to have those discussions, but I think what we're seeing here is that stage fighting is going to be eliminated. And by the way, we saw that with, it was Gazdik and someone else dropped the gloves, and then the linesman stepped in.
That's in rapid fire later.
Right. I forget who it was with Gazdik, but you're starting to see them. The NHL's taking a concerted effort to get rid of the stage fighting and the cheap shots. Now, I don't. The problem is, for the last 4 weeks here of the regular season, we've had how many cheap shots now? Six? About half a dozen? And there's just no need for them. I mean, we've got so much positive stuff happening in the NHL, whether it's the rookies in the game now with McKinnon and Barkov and Thomas Hurdle, the Olympics coming up, 24/7 coming up. I mean, there's just no need for this cheap shot stuff because it paints a negative light on the NHL.
Sure
what it does.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about two very disappointing Eastern Conference teams. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Two hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Mr. Lube, Winnipeg Jets game day, H&L follow us, and then Rick Ralph and the Don Vito Collision and Glass pregame power hour at 5 o'clock. Lead into the three-headed monster, Dennis Bayak, Brian Munns, and Shane Knighty with your call from Dallas as the Jets take on the Dallas Stars tonight, 6 p.m. here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter, at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve is our website. Is our Facebook page. I've done that twice already
Facebook,
today.
You know.
Are you saying cut out the Facebook.com/IllegalCurve?
Well, hold on.
Maybe once a show or twice.
If we're talking about social media and all this stuff.
Facebook jumped the shark.
What's Richie's?
Definitely jumped the shark.
What's Richie's BBN PIN number?
his new BBM pin number. Did you download the new BBM?
Yeah, I did. Same one as before. It's back. I got everybody back again. But
yeah, MSN Messenger's back. Hi5 is back.
Yeah, this thing's not even working. Like, I press the contact button and it just closes every time. I don't know what's going on.
Well, there's a reason why BlackBerry's in trouble.
Anyways, and the website, I'll say it properly this time, the website is www.
No. So triple I, W, you got rid of that.
I can bring it back.
No. Everybody knows. What else do you put on the website? You don't need www.
Fine, it's illegalcurve.com. Okay. Happy?
Yeah. We also have a print edition that's bound.
Comes to you by carrier pigeon.
The New York, the Philadelphia Flyers beat the New York Rangers on Thursday night 2-1.
Yep, for their second win of the year.
The Flyers are 2-7-0.
Yep.
The Rangers are 2-6-0.
Who would have predicted that?
The Flyers have scored 13 goals in 9 games. The Rangers have scored 12 goals in 8 games. Which of the two teams is more disappointing?
The Flyers have played 6 games at home. The Rangers have played no games at home. The Rangers haven't played a home game yet.
Yeah, talk about bad schedules.
The Flyers are more disappointing. I mean, they haven't played a game at home, Drew. The Flyers have only played 3 road games. So I think 100% it's the Flyers.
I got to say something about the Flyers because there's no way I thought that they would start the season off like this. I picked both of these teams to make the playoffs. I picked Henrik Lundqvist to be the Hart Trophy winner this year. And I don't think that was that ridiculous either. Scotty Hartnell's back tonight. You guys know how much I love Scotty Hartnell.
Yeah, yeah. I have him in fantasy, so I really hope he's back tonight.
Tell us more about your team, Drew.
The thing that I...
we care.
The thing that I found really weird, though, is that the Flyers decided to send down Time again. Who is one of their top players so far. And Hartnell comes back, and I thought Time again was one of the guys that's actually contributing offensively on this team. So, sure, you'd want Scotty Hartnell back because he's had the history with Claude Giroux, but Time again was a guy that I was surprised that they sent down.
He's got 3 points. I mean...
Well, but he has 3 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so and on a team that isn't scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, fair enough.
He has a third of their goals, Drew.
Fair enough. That's true. He does have a third of their goals.
That's pretty good. Let's give Time again some credit here.
You're right. But, you're right. I apologize.
Paul Holmgren decided to send McGinn down. Michael Raffey, I don't know a lot about, but he's the guy that they kept up. But
a couple points in the AHL in 3 games. Yeah.
Right. So the point here, guys, is that the Philadelphia Flyers, big problems. And from all accounts, we've talked to Anthony Sanfilippo, and by all accounts, Steve Mason and Ray Emery have been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Emery hasn't been. Ray Emery's numbers are horrible. 4.03 goals against average and an 873 save percentage.
He's only played 2 or 3 games.
He's only played 2 games. Yeah. Mason's been very good. I mean... Yeah. Not, if you had said at the beginning of the year, Mason's going to give you a 930 save percentage.
The Flyers would be hot.
Yeah, and a 2.17 goals against. You say, are we first or second in our division?
The problem is Vincent LeCavalier was injured, and he's counted on to play second line center. Matt Reed.
No, they moved LeCavalier.
Right, at the beginning of the year, now he's been moved up. Braden Schenn.
Yes, Braden Schenn's now in the middle. LeCavalier's playing on the right side of Giroux.
Yeah.
But yes, to Ezzy's point, LeCavalier was originally slated to be second-line center. That's why they signed him.
Yeah, so and then he got injured. Scotty Hartnell got injured. Yeah. And remember, last year, remember Braden Coburn was injured and then Scotty Hartnell was injured? Coburn and Hartnell are huge pieces of that team, and not to mention the goaltending and all that. But I think it's still early here, Philadelphia Flyers, to turn this around. But
slow back end, though.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to agree with Richie. I'd probably say the Flyers are a bigger mess.
Well, the Rangers have new coach. I mean, the Flyers do now. But the Rangers came into the season with a new coach and haven't been home in like 2 months. They were in Banff smoking cigars with Sather. And like they actually haven't been home in so long, Drew, that and they've had the Lundqvist injury. And Nash injury. So to me, I think the Flyers are the bigger miss. I know the Flyers have had LeCavalier out, and I know they've had Hartnell out. They have more depth offensively, though, and they've gotten really good production from their goaltending. To me, it's the Flyers.
Yeah, and Rick Nash and Ryan Callahan, those are two of your top players, right?
Sure.
So, by the way, I also think the Rangers are going to turn this around. Chris Kreider and JT Miller, two guys we talked about a lot last year, but they've really struggled. So they got sent down to Hartford of the AHL. Now they're back because of the injuries they have now to Nash and Callahan. So I think they're going to turn this around. And I mean, that defense, guys, it's still really good. Ryan McDonough and Dan Girardi is an extremely good shutdown combo. And Mark Stahl and Strahlman. And, you know, I mean, it's still a really good team. Mm-hmm. Lundqvist, I mean, that's why it's shocking. You talk about, like, why is the, especially the Rangers, why is this team you know, fallen so hard. Well, there's a combination of factors: the bad schedule, the injuries, the new system.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about Berube, and Berube's a different coach than Laviolette, but he knows the roster better than Vigneault knows the Rangers roster, just by being behind the bench for so long with Laviolette. So there's a huge adjustment period there that I think you need to account for.
For the Rangers.
Yeah, Vigneault spent the last, what, 5 or 6 years in the Western Conference, studying all of the Western Conference teams.
He admitted he didn't know much about the roster. He admitted that.
And Tortorella said that. And I think people sometimes forget how important, not forget, but overlook how important that is. Because Vigneault and Tortorella are both well-respected coaches, and they've had a lot of success with teams in the NHL, but when you move conferences and now all of a sudden you're in the same division as the Pittsburgh Penguins, now all of a sudden you got to figure out, okay, well, how am I going to stop Crosby and Malkin here?
When you started the season, do you think a guy named Cam Talbot would be playing at all playing for the Rangers? And you wouldn't, right?
Which of the two teams do you see making a trade first?
I see the Flyers making a trade first only because Holmgren is more aggressive, I think, then Sather's aggressive too, but Holmgren is more aggressive.
Aggressive?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
And I think that Sather wants to let Vigneault analyze the roster. Sather knows hockey. You know, Jeff Gordon, those guys know hockey, but they're going to let Vigneault analyze the roster together and probably make some decisions, you know, probably sooner rather than later, but probably 20-30 game mark, whereas the Flyers know what they got and all these guys, except for really LeCalvier, and Streit, I guess. So they're going to have an idea of what they want to do, and they do need to add mobility to their back end. And I know they're trying to get rid of Mezeros there, but and I know he is mobile, but he's not a great defenseman. So it's a conundrum. You know, we talked about how they didn't address their defensive need in the offseason. Mark's tried to address an offensive need from the back end, but not a defensive need. And granted, they haven't scored this year, so that kind of is contradictory in terms of what they've had it lacking. But I think overall, it's going to be strong throughout the course of the season. And if they do make the playoffs, they need to address that issue.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Ralph Strangas, Dallas Stars play-by-play man, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website is illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Stars, Ralph Strangas. Ralph, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, fellas. I'm glad we could work it out. I think I had my wires crossed a bit. I didn't want to miss my game day. Today it was boxing. Sometimes it's kickboxing, but I got to get it all up before I get on the air. Well, you know, we don't want anything, you know, to come out that shouldn't come out there.
Well, if you're boxing, I'm not gonna criticize or you know, you can beat me up, obviously.
Playing fourth line left wing for the Stars tonight.
Ralph, how does the other guy look?
Yeah, the problem is they could actually, you know, get a look at a guy or two, and it wouldn't probably be the end of the world. But they're getting there. You know, it's early in the season. This is a very new looking team, and so it had sort of a funny rhythm to start it. You know, they had that 5-day break, and then they had almost a 4-day break, and so like they haven't really had any, and they had Kauri's out, so that. You know, I know those aren't really excuses, but it's the facts that, you know, when you're trying to get a new group together, you want some sort of repetition and stuff with each other. So that's kind of, I think, part of why they're taking a little bit of time to figure out who they are.
Sure. Ralph, the Stars made their big offseason acquisition when they acquired Tyler Seguin from Boston. How has he fit into the Stars organization after leaving Boston and under a bit of a cloud?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, look, if I was Tyler Seguin, I might have left Boston under similar circumstances. You know, you're 21 years old, you're making a lot of money, you're a pop star. Everybody's telling you, you know, what a big deal you are in that. And I think it's tough, and especially in these days of social media, I think we need to be more forgiving with some of these kids. And you know, I mean, my goodness, if there would have been cell phone cameras at every party I went to in college, I probably wouldn't have a job right now. I mean, it's serious, though, right? So, yeah. Like, I think we got to cut these kids some slack because everything.
You still having that?
Ralph, are you still there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. We can hear you.
Ralph, are you still in the ring right now?
No. I'm actually almost, I'm in my parking garage. I'm going from the boxing thing. This is a pretty tight schedule here. But you know, getting back to Tyler, he's been great. And he's a stud. I mean, those players don't come around very often. When you get a 21-year-old center iceman that can do all of the things that he can do, and, you know, you have to give up something to get him. Louis is a wonderful player, but I love the move, and I think he's going to be a star in this league for a long time.
Yeah, I love the move, too. You know, Tyler Seguin, of course, being a center, has allowed Jamie Benn to shift back to his left-wing spot, Ralph. And, you know, he was kind of a surprising omission to some from Team Canada's orientation camp, but he's playing at above a point-of-game pace and playing really well. Do you see him having a realistic shot of cracking Team Canada's roster for Sochi in February?
Well, these things have a way of working out, right? Somebody can't go, there's an injury, there's somebody puts on a late charge. I would think he's got to be on their short list of guys to keep an eye on, for sure, and guys that maybe we probably should have might have thought of inviting to our camp. He's... Again, Dallas is, you know, the team hasn't been very good. They haven't made the playoffs. They played exclusively in the, you know, in the Pacific time zone almost for the last, you know, how many years, 12 years they were in that division. And so they don't have a big look nationally. And I think people overlook the Stars a bit. And that's, you know, I mean, it's not anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. There are teams out here that just don't get the same look. And so that's a really good player, and he's going to be better at wing than he was at center. And he can do a lot of things. I mean, the other night he had 7 shots, 2 goals, 3 hits. He was a dominating player physically, and, you know, and he's got great skills. So, yeah, if Team Canada doesn't want him, I'd probably find a spot for him on Mikey. So, you know, USA, that'd be good.
Ralph, Alex Chiasson playing second line right wing right now, he seems to be picking up where he left off last season, and he really came into the NHL with a bang there and scored a goal against the Jets when the Stars were in Winnipeg. He's at a point per game clip again this year. What's been the key to his success so far?
Ray Whitney. you know, in a lot of ways, I think Whitney's assisted on every one of his goals or close, and he just has special chemistry with a guy who knows how to get you the puck. Mm-hmm. But Alex goes to the net, and not to just kind of hang around and hope, but he goes to the net with the intention of scoring a goal. And he's one of the better guys I've seen lately, and he just sort of popped up on our radar. I mean, we didn't really hear about him. He played at BU, and, you know, he's going to be a good player. And Joe Nordy kept telling me, you know, this kid Chiasson's really a good, you know, I think he's going to be a good player here. But, you know, you don't know till you see him. And then he scores, and you kind of think, well, that was at the end of the year, and they didn't have many players, and nobody was really, you know, too excited when they saw the Dallas Stars on the schedule. But then this year he's done it again, and he really looks like an NHL player. It's funny, we had all the preseason talk about Valanciunas, and now it's Chiasson who's right there with the top rookie scorers in the league, and probably, I mean, if he stays healthy, probably a contender for the Calder, I would think. And it's all deserved. For a guy who really never scored big numbers at any level, he really has found a spot here in the NHL. He's kind of got his own little thing here, man. You watch him tonight. His bid is he'll go right to the front of the net. Yeah. He knows what to do when he gets the puck there. He's intent on putting it in the back of the net, and Ray Whitney will look for him. So that's been a really good combination.
You talked about Valeri Nichushkin, Ralph, and of course, you know, different situation in terms of him being 18 and Chiasson being about 23. How has Nichushkin, I know he's been a healthy scratch at times, but you talk to people in the game, they just can't say enough about how talented Nichushkin is. How has he played thus far in this early part of the season?
Well, he's an 18-year-old kid who's dominated everywhere he's been. And so what happens is, you know, he's playing big minutes, he's playing top 6 minutes, top line minutes, he's on the power play, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes to the National Hockey League. And they do what they always do, is they say, well, you know, you got to earn your way up, you really got to get better in your own end, blah, 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 blah. And he's not getting it. So he's playing, you know, with Vern Fiddler. Who isn't Ray Whitney? There's no disrespect meant to Vern Fiddler.
Yeah.
And Vern Fiddler's not a guy who's going to, you know, he's not getting the minutes and the opportunities to, you know, to do what he does. And why the Stars drafted him. And so it's sort of a, you know, and the other unfortunate thing with Val is that, you know, his contract says he either plays here or in the K.
Right.
So they can't send him down. and let him, you know, let him play with some, you know, build his confidence up with the North American game and learn it a little bit more and learn the language a little bit more in Austin, where he's just, you know, a few hours away. He's got to learn it, you know, watching and playing third and fourth line minutes here. And Sergei Gonchar has certainly taken him under his wing. And, you know, it's coming. You know, like I said, I'd love to see him up there with Ben and Sagan a little bit. You know, I'm not an NHL coach, so, you know, I'd probably last 5 minutes because he'd have been up there already. But, you know, like I'd like to see that. I'd like to give the kid some reps where he's, you know, where he's most comfortable. But he's getting there. He's been better. He's doing the things that they want him to do over the last couple of games. And I think it's just a matter of time. He's close.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by the voice of the Dallas Stars, Ralph Strangas. Ralph, a guy familiar to many people here in Winnipeg is Cody Eakin, obviously from Winnipeg. The Stars acquired him last year in exchange for Mike Ribeiro. You know, he's getting a really good opportunity centering the second line for the Dallas Stars. What has he made of the opportunity so far?
Oh, he's been great. You know, he's a terrific kid. He's one of my favorite. We have some really good young guys on our team now. And for so many years, it was, you know, the Stars had older guys, everybody was married, everybody had a family, everybody, you know, but we've kind of got this batch of young single guys now, and they're really fun to be around. And, you know, Tyler and Jamie Benn and Brendan Dillon and Cody and Kevin Connaughton. And I mean, you know, you have this batch of guys that are just really excited to be here and really, grabbing a hold of the opportunity, and Cody saw an opportunity here. We're not deep down the middle. He's, you know, he may or may not be a second line center, but that's where he is right now. And he's been very good in the faceoff circle. He's very diligent. You know, he plays a 200-foot game. That's what they like in the, you know, in this business. That's what they like. And he's also popped in with a little bit of offense. So he's been a very dependable player. And I would bet you that everybody in the league says, boy, that's a guy to keep an eye on, because every team wants a guy like Cody Eakin. And the Stars are, you know, they had to give up a 75-point a season commodity to get him. But at the time, they were willing to do that. And you know, he may not ever replace the offense, but he does a lot of things very, very well. And he's just a pleasure to have around.
You mentioned Brendan Dillon, Ralph. We have a show, NHL Midweek, which we do on Wednesdays. And last year we talked about, you know, keeping an eye on Brendan Dillon, a guy who kind of came from nowhere, really, in the Dallas system. And you watch him, he competes. He doesn't back down from anybody. He can do all the little things really well. He's logging the most minutes on the back end this year. You've seen the team obviously more than I have, but has he been the best defenseman? And what's not to like about this guy, I guess?
Oh, there's nothing not to like. His attitude is wonderful too, just wonderful. You know, he calls me, you know, Mr. Strand is my last name, which is, you know, nobody. I don't know if it's good or bad. Maybe I'll take him to boxing class with me, and we'll straighten that out. it's great. Like he's you know, he's a big body kid. One of the kind of the story on him was he was undrafted because he was smaller. And he grew very quickly from like his 16, from the time he was 15 or 16 to the time he was 18. Now he's a big, sturdy kid. He's 6'4", 220 or something. And you know, he skates well enough. He's actually a pretty mobile guy. And, you know, the offense is coming for him. And he's just, you know, he led all rookies in hits last year, and so that's his game. He'll fight. He'll do whatever it takes.
He's a beauty.
You know, and again, you're on a blue line in Dallas. You know, that's where their biggest opportunities present themselves for young players. There are a lot of opportunities on this team because, you know, frankly, when you're not in the playoffs, there's opportunities. And so, you know, there are holes back there, and Gillen's jumped up and said, you know what, I'm good with the minutes, and he's playing with Stefan Robida, and, you know, that's been their best pair. You know, now they'll try and figure the rest of it out. I think Alex Goligoski's going back in tonight. You know, they figured it out, but yeah, Gillen's been great and a really, you know, bright young star in this league to watch.
Aren't they calling him Zeus?
Yeah, Zeus.
Yeah. I read that somewhere. That's correct, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's got the hair. He's got the, you know, he's like this, you know, young Greek god or something back there. And so it's like I say, he's been great. I like the young energy with this group. It's, you know, are they not bad? inevitable. It's hard to say. When you're out of the playoffs 5 years and you're starting at or around 500, it's hard to say that. But I think this is year one of the window opening. They've got some very good young players. They've got some really good young defensemen coming. And Jim Nill will straighten out what needs to be straightened out. So, you know, maybe it's not this year, but I think in the next year or two with this team, it's going to be very good around here.
Ralph, you mentioned Alex Goligoski earlier, and the reports are that he's going to play tonight after being a healthy scratch. And when the Stars acquired Alex Goligoski from Pittsburgh in exchange for James Neal, he was envisioned as being a key component of this defense for years to come. And he struggled big time, and he's auditioned as a forward. How serious are the Stars at maybe transitioning and looking at Goligoski as a forward? And does that really account for his struggles in Dallas?
No, I don't think so. I think it was sort of a one-day experiment. Cole was sick, so they put him in during practice, and I think it was just to give him a little different look of trying to shake him out of it a little bit, just to give him a little different look. But, it was it's tough. They basically asked him to come in and replace Sergei Zubov. And it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And so, Alex is probably not a number one, but he's a very good complementary player. And like I say, with a stronger group and a stronger team he's probably a better fit, but they've harnessed him with all these expectations and minutes. And I kind of feel for him. It's a tough spot to be in. But that said, he's got to be better. He knows he's got to be better. Usually, he had the struggles and he had the hiccups and all that, but he'd pick up points. So you'd say, well, at the end of the day, it was okay. He led the blue line in scoring the last 2 years. But this year, he has no points and he's minus 10. So now the mistakes become more accentuated. Sergei Gonchar is having a little trouble getting up and running, and those two are partnered together. So I think they're going to switch that up tonight when Alex comes back in. I think Alex is going to play with Jordy Ben. And Gonchar might play with Daly. But we'll see it. We'll see it when we see it, and we'll see what Lindy wants to do during the game. But it's expectations, and it was a tough spot to put him in, and he sort of has had. I think as the group has had struggles, he's had struggles.
Final question for you, Ralph. We'd like to get a lot more, but we only have a certain amount of time here. And you mentioned Lindy Ruff. You know, we know about the Stars offering Alain Vigneault that contract before they hired Ruff. Ruff's obviously had a really successful career in Buffalo. What's he been like so far? And, what's been not only your impression of him, but what's been his impression of the roster?
Well, I'm not going to speak for Lindy, but I would think because he's probably at where I'm at, in terms of age and been around a while and, like that. I think he probably enjoys the youth too. You have an opportunity to do some real coaching with some of these young guys. He's got a new group and the group is new to each other. So there's that challenge. I think when you're at a place for a very long time, you get into habits and ruts and you're around a lot of the same people. And even though the players turn over, you kind of have a way of doing things. And I think for Lindy, and I mean, even talking to a guy like Sean Horkoff and other and Sergei Gonchar and guys who've come in here, it's a really fresh look here. Like the uniforms look different, the players are different, the system is different, the coaches are different. So I think with Lindy, he's a patient guy. He wants this to shake out. He's trying to let veterans play themselves out of the early season funk. He's giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I would suspect that this is a very enjoyable set of circumstances for him. He's got young kids that are excited, a new owner that wants to win, a fan base that's dying to, please give us a reason so we can come back. So everything's just sitting here for him. And I know he's there a lot. He gets there early, he stays late, and I think he's really enjoying the opportunity and this new challenge, as most people do when they move on to something else.
Ralph Strangis is the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Stars. Ralph, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure, fellas.
Enjoy the game. Thanks, Ralph.
Okay. Yep, bye.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Adrian Dater of the Denver Post is going to join us.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Ralph Strangus for having just joined us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes and on our website, illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from the Denver Post covering the Colorado Avalanche, Adrian Dater. Adrian, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Adrian, you got to. You look at the Avs record, and in everybody's wildest dreams, I don't think anybody expected this kind of start for the Colorado Avalanche. Are you surprised at how smoothly Patrick Waugh's coaching debut has begun in the NHL?
Well, I think surprise has to be a word you have to use with the start. I don't think anybody definitely thought they'd be 9-1, especially with two pretty tough Eastern road trips that they've gone on and went 5-0 on. I was always a believer in Waugh, and still am. I mean, I think he's just too smart to fail. He's too much of a hockey genius to fail. He's all about success and winning, and he's going to do whatever it takes. That said, I didn't. Nobody thought this would happen. I don't think that. Nobody thought the goaltending would be as good as it has been. He brought in Francois Allaire. A lot of people laughed at Francois Allaire. Brian Burke, maybe, from last year, thought he was washed up. Said his method didn't work anymore in the league. Toronto basically threw him under the bus, threw his reputation under the bus. And Patrick Waugh didn't think so. And then you look at the Avalanche, they've got the best goaltending in the league right now. And they've faced a lot of shots, a lot of quality shots. And not only, I don't think it's a fluke, they're playing solid goaltending. I mean, there's no lucky saves here. So, I think the answer to the question is surprised at the severity of the start and the excellence of it, but not surprised overall that Patrick's got this thing getting turned around already.
Adrian, you talk about the goaltending. Obviously, as you mentioned, it's been great. Matt Duchene is leading the forward group. He's over a point a game. He's been terrific thus far. He was invited to the orientation camp in Calgary for Team Canada this year. We just asked Ralph Strangensis about Jamie Benn, who wasn't invited. But is Matt Duchene, who was invited and plays such a fast game, do you think he's going to make Team Canada?
He might. It's hard to say who's playing a lot better than he is right now in the league. I know Crosby and Staal are probably going to be probably the 1-2 punch up the middle. Maybe forgetting someone here, but you guys know more about the Canadian Olympic team more than me, probably. But he got invited to the camp, so that already shows you Canada thought enough of him to do that. The way he's playing, I mean, definitely he's got a shot at it for sure. And I know he would love that to happen. And that's probably, he's a well motivated guy to begin with, but being able to care in front of him to be able to play for Team Canada in the Olympics associate, I mean, that would be just a dream come true for him, and I'm sure it's on his mind.
Now, Adrian, speaking of Matt Duchene, Ryan O'Reilly is playing on his wing on the second line there, and he's playing over 20 minutes a game. He's doing quite well thus far this year. Do you think that he's more relaxed than the player that we saw last year?
Oh, for sure. I mean, last year was a circus. I mean, hold out, and he's over in Russia. Anyway, all of a sudden, the debacle going to Calgary, and it could have been that Calgary lost the draft picks for him, and all that stuff. Not even got them there. No question, it was a circus, and it was just a bad, bad thing. I mean, the Avalanche drew a line in the sand, but so did O'Reilly's camp, and it became a standoff. Calgary basically came in and rescued the. You can really argue a great case that the Calgary Flames may have saved the Avalanche in several ways with that signing offer sheet, because I don't think they were ever going to sign O'Reilly otherwise. They were going to trade him. The relations had soured to that point, and they were going to deal him. Then this offer sheet comes out of nowhere, and they already knew they were probably going to have a number one pick, but they could have had two top five picks. So I know they might have thought about it, but in the end, they said, "No, we got to match this offer sheet." And now he's turned into, I think, one of the best forwards in the league, best wingers in the league right now. He's defensive minded, but he's also great in the corners offensively. It does so many little smart things. And I guess you got the Avalanche really have probably seven nights. Gift basket, a bottle of wine to JC for that offer sheet.
Any lingering resentment between O'Reilly's camp and the Avalanche camp over the holdout?
Well, I don't think there is now. I mean, I think there would have been more if some of the old regime were still here, like Pierre Lacroix, Greg Sherman were still in control of the hockey decisions here. It could have festered. But I think with Patrick Waugh, he was not part of that mess. And now he's come in. I know Patrick Waugh is just like, we're not going to trade this guy. Whatever bad relations we had before, let's work it out and let's move forward. And I think that's the attitude here. But there were definitely some bad feelings between the Avs and him. And it could have lingered for sure because, that really hurt the team last year. And I know that O'Reilly was not a real popular guy in the Avs dressing room over that, too. So, he has no regrets about it, though. He hasn't said, I'm sorry or anything like that. From what I hear, he's just, I did what I did and I'm not apologizing. So, still kind of a weird situation in some ways, but, all they care about the Avalanche is him playing the way he is, and they'll bury the hatchet on that for sure if he keeps playing like this.
Yeah, 9-1 start goes a long way to healing all wounds. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by Adrian Dater of the Denver Post. Adrian, Nathan MacKinnon, obviously first overall pick this past draft. He's got 7 points in 10 games. What's been your impression of him thus far?
Well, he's he's 18 and he's learning the game. He's got 7 points, but and I think he's a little frustrated at not having more goals. Patrick Waugh's not playing him much in defensive situations late in games. He's playing John Mitchell when they get a lead, and he's been turning the puck over a little bit too much. But there's so much talent there. He's just going to have to keep learning the game like Duchesne did his rookie year. Duchesne basically said, I was totally green and didn't have any clue what I was doing out there his first year, even though he put up some good numbers. And then took him a while to really learn the game and this level. That's what's happening with MacKinnon. Boy, he's got a lot of talent, though. I mean, he really hasn't played a whole lot, and he hasn't been at his best a lot, but you look at the sheet though, and he's still got 7 points. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if this is him struggling and trying to find his way, imagine what he's like at age 23 or something, 5 years in the league, and that's got it all figured out. It could be scary.
Adrian, look at this defense on the Avalanche in the last game, for example. Haida, Johnson, Ginnin, Wilson, Benoit, Sarich. And if you tell me that's the top six, going into the season, I tell you 9-1 is the biggest pipe dream you can possibly imagine. What's been the key? Obviously, the goaltending has been great, but what's been the key in terms of the defense? Like, who is there one player that's surprising you more than anybody else?
Well, I mean, Sarich, Ginnin, and Benoit weren't even part of an NHL regular
right.
lineup last year for much of the year. I mean, Sarich is a scratch in Calgary. Benoit was a minor leaguer. Ginnin was just basically a minor league journeyman. Now that's half of the defense now. All of them have been really good. I mean, Sarich is not washed up, folks. He's played great. I mean, he's a +8, and it's not a fluke at all. Whatever problems he had in Calgary, I mean, he's getting a rebirth in Colorado. He's been real good, smart. He's not slow. He's not a speedster, but he's been really good. And Benoit has been a nice glidey kind of defenseman who makes some little plays here and there. He hasn't done anything dumb and gets a few points offensively. Real good pick up there. So I know it's early. The defense is not. On par with, the St. Louis Blues or, Nashville Predators or something. They're still probably going to have some issues. But I think Patrick Waugh and Andre Tournier, the assistant coach brought in from junior, is in charge of the defense. He's got to play a much more of a regular system now. He's moved, they've made some changes with guys and how they play positionally. In the zone, for instance, John Hayto was playing too close to the net, they thought, for the pass. So they moved him higher in the zone. Patrick Ross said he wants to get him out of his quote-unquote comfort level, and he did. And Hayto's been probably their best defenseman. So I think it's a combination of just guys getting another chance and somebody believing in them and a smart system with Waugh and Tourigny leading the way.
Adrian, we wanted to ask you about another guy whose contract is expiring at the end of this year. Ryan O'Reilly's obviously the other guy, but Paul Stastny is a free agent after this season. Where do you see those contract negotiations going?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be just a case of waiting to see still. You know, if the Avs are headed for the playoffs for sure, and Stastny's been a big part of it, then I think, you know, then they're going to have to maybe think about an extension. But if not, if they're still kind of a bubble team and they don't think that Stastny is part of the real big future, I mean, I think they're still looking at a deadline deal, because the problem, you know, the thing is they've got Duchesne and MacKinnon, and you got to figure those are their top two centers mm-hmm. at some point before too long. MacKinnon's not a third-line center. I mean, it's not – he can play that, but it's not his best – it's not going to be his best role. He's not a defensive right. player. So, you know, they have a big decision to make there. Do they go to MacKinnon and say, hey, look, kid, I think we still want to play a third line for the next couple of years, and can you accept that? Or maybe they do that with Stastny and say, hey, can you accept a third-line role? Maybe that happens, but – fact is, they do need some defense still. He could be the guy that really gets you a good D-man. And then you've still got two, arguably three real good centers still below him. So all I can say is we got to wait and see how this season plays out. It's going to be an interesting story, though.
Adrian, we'll let you go on this last question. With the 9-1 start, I mean, obviously the Avalanche are off to the great start. Has that garnered attention in the Denver market, or is it all Peyton Manning all the time right now?
No, it's picking up. I mean, it's still a lot of Peyton Manning. I mean, he's definitely not going to knock the Broncos off the top perch here, no matter what. No, it's building back up. You know, the crowd is still getting there. They had some pretty good chunk of empty seats in the upper bowl still last night, which is a little disappointing to see, especially on a Friday night game. They still got a ways to go to really get all the bandwagon fans back on. But, it's definitely, the Avalanche are definitely a hotter topic than they've been the last few years. I mean, instead of getting 38 seconds of sports talk radio time in Denver, they're now getting about 48. That's still zero sports talk in hockey and in sports radio in Denver, which is kind of a joke. But, you know, you hear more about Avalanche hockey on your show than you do in Denver's show. Otherwise, I think the fans, I mean, the internet, my blog and stuff, definitely more interest there and more page views and all that stuff. But the rest of Denver still needs to catch up a little bit.
Well, that's why we're pleased to have you on to talk Avs hockey for 15 minutes. Adrian Dater from the Denver Post.
More hockey than I talk in the whole week in Denver sports for the whole month.
Well, we're pleased to do it. Adrian, anytime you want on to talk hockey, we're pleased to have you.
Okay. Well, good to be with you guys.
Yeah.
We'll get the Jets in here tomorrow. It's a big game, big division game here.
Lots of Winnipeggers making the trip down there, doing the doubleheader, the Skins and the Skins and the Broncos, and then the Jets and the Avs.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. Well, we'll look for the Peggers here.
Yeah, listen out for the True North chant during the national anthem. That's when you'll know that they're there.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely keep we welcome Winnipeg with open arms here. I'm sure the Avs sell as many seats to them as they want. I doubt it's going to be a sellout still.
All right, Adrian. Thanks very much, buddy.
Okay, guys. Take care.
You too. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bruce?
Happy birthday to you. Oh. Happy birthday. This is Tim. Tim requested this. Tim has been many with the music lately.
You've been great.
I don't know anything, any Beatles, so I would never pick this.
One final segment this Saturday afternoon here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. simultaneously wrapping up the Richard Pollack birthday celebrations here on the show.
It's been great.
You know, Wednesday's birthday celebration and Saturday's birthday celebration.
And Thursday's.
Yeah. And Friday.
Well, I meant the show. I'm talking show specific birthday.
By the way, you guys want to know something about a good friend I got in this room?
Yeah.
You know, Drew, as he, of course, wished me happy birthday on my birthday. Michael Remus over there.
You forgot?
Yeah.
Hold on, didn't
we
Remus,
did it so much Remus, on Wednesday?
Didn't Remus not wish you a happy birthday too? There was something
he didn't come to Drew's birthday. I thought.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right. He didn't come to my birthday.
That's
I don't recall at all.
Never showed up.
Yeah. Well, you had some sort of lame excuse or something. I recall.
There was a Super Nintendo tournament.
By himself at home. Just at anywhere else.
Can't wait for cheers and jeers today, Remus. Don't you worry.
Let's go to rapid fire quickly. Sorry. There we go.
Rapid fire.
Tomorrow night, the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about John Spano will air on TSN. Spano was the con man who briefly purchased the New York Islanders despite not actually having any money. Only when it was time for him to pay up did the NHL discover all of his documents were forgeries. In honor of John Spano, who ended up serving time in prison for this and other frauds, who is your all-time favorite corrupt, crooked, or incompetent NHL franchise owner?
Well, I mean, aside from Peter Pocklington, I think it has to be his daughter, Jessie Spano.
Okay, well, Bruce McNall's got to be up there.
Yeah, him too.
I was going to say Boots Del Baggio.
I got to go with Boots myself.
The thing about Bruce McNall or Peter Pocklington, like, Bruce McNall was at least, like, friendly. Peter Pocklington, you interview him, he's the most, he's so angry all the time.
I don't know why they called him Peter Puck.
Bruce McNall comes off really well in those 30 for 30 Gretzky interviews. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I think he pulled it off.
He almost seems to make fun of himself for, you know, what he did. But I'd probably go with, like, Pocklington or McNall.
My vote is for Boots Del Baggio, just because the guy's name was Boots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, William Del Baggio or whatever it was, and he tried to buy the Predators without having any money.
Yeah. Can we put Hulsizer in there, too?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't
corrupt or
anything. Jim Balsillie?
No. Also not corrupt or anything.
I don't know. BlackBerry's in the Fritz.
Yeah.
HBO announced
on the Fritz?
Yeah, on the Fritz.
Yeah, it's not in the Fritz.
Yeah, it's on the Fritz. Yeah. No. HBO announced that 24/7, The Road to the Winter Classic, will air its debut episode on December 14th in the United States and December 15th in Canada.
Very excited
there
about that.
There are two key differences between the two editions. The one in Canada will have commercials, and it will have the F-bombs edited out.
Whoa.
Will those two changes affect your enjoyment of the show?
Yeah, 100%.
They should play the swears, and there should be no commercials.
Just get a little... Yeah.
Is it not on HBO Canada?
No.
Okay. Well, then, I think that's not right.
Yeah, you can't edit it out. That's not authentic.
Yeah, it's true.
Like editing out Remus in this whole show.
Yeah.
That would just be an improvement. It wouldn't be authentic, though.
Yeah.
And the last question in rapid fire today. After the show today, all five members of Legal Curve, as well as producer Timmy, and others are heading out to play hockey.
Yep.
For simplicity's sake, teams were determined by Richard earlier this week.
Random.
I'm not sure how random they were.
Oh, random, out of a hat.
Four of the five Illegal Curve members and producer Timmy are on one team. I am on the other team. Should I take this as a compliment that it takes five people to equal my skill set, or should I take it that I'm going to be a target of multiple attempted headshots?
Oh, absolutely you're a target.
Yeah. I'm going to John Scott you.
Yeah, Remus and I are going to pair up on defense. So.
Do you remember Scott Stevens' hit on Slava Kozlov?
Sure.
Yeah, that'll be Remus on you.
That'll be Remus on you, and then me on you also.
Remus can fly out there.
I think, you know what? Producer Timmy, I bet, has my back.
No.
No.
No, he's on our team.
Yeah. I know, but if I'm writhing on the ground in pain, he might, wheel me off to the side so I don't get skated over.
He'll have your back as it goes into the boards. Just kidding. We don't condone that type of hit.
Cheers and jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
I'm gonna first off cheer all of you for bringing in the cake on Wednesday and being very nice.
Whoa. It was me that brought in the cake.
Yeah, sorry, you, Ezra, and being very nice.
Not anybody else.
Getting my Bob on the phone. Nice to me on my birthday. But my real cheer goes out to Michael Remus.
Oh, man.
Because Michael Remus, during the last break, told us, we said, how is it going with your girlfriend?
Here we go.
She's been cooking you dinners. She's been doing a lot of nice things for you. You know, have you bought her anything?
Mm-hmm.
I have to give Michael Remus a cheer for what he bought her. An iPod cable.
Oh, my God.
That's, I mean, that's like, what, $10?
Nothing says romance like an iPod cable.
That's true. An iPod cable is, you know, I believe that's the first anniversary gift. I think that's how it goes. You know,
hashtag Leah.
Yeah, hashtag Leah, exactly.
This is
right.
Not getting well for me now.
I'm gonna cheer my best friend here. It's his birthday. You know, he's 30 years young here. Richie's going to get my cheer. I can't wait to play hockey with all you guys in about an hour. It's going to be lots of fun.
I agree with that was Remus getting driven over by the bus right there. Of course, I echo your birthday wishes to Richard Pollock. I'm going to cheer Bobby Orr for expressing an unpopular opinion that there is a place for fighting in hockey. I disagree with him, but if we hold Steve Yzerman's opinion with such gravitas, we also should do the same with Bobby Orr and his opinion regarding fighting, for better or worse.
With such what?
Yeah, gravitas is what Remus puts on his poutine.
I don't know what that is, man.
That's why I'm on air more often.
Oh, wow.
That's ending the show on a high note.
Oh, that's it for this Saturday in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, Ralph Strangas, Dallas Stars play-by-play broadcaster, and Adrian Dater from the Denver Post. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes and on tsn1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is IllegalCurve.com. Big thank you to our sponsors, the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and the Linden Market Dental Center. Wednesday night, 6 p.m., NHL Midweek here on TSN 1290. Programming note, next Saturday, 8 a.m. start time for the show with the Jets Blackhawks at 2 in the afternoon. For producer Michael Remus and producer Timmy, for the birthday boy Richard Pollock, and for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Stay tuned for Hustler and Lawless. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.